Fred's World Cruise is brought to you by the Association of Micropower Broadcasters. We'll have contact info at the end of the show. Right now, coming from South Korea, this is Yewon Shin.
Sua mãe não. fue buscar Yakamón.
La cabeza dura, la boca cayó, cala boca, menino.
No laughs are God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when they're starving or freezing or so very poor. No one laughs at God when a doctor calls after some routine test. No one's laughing at God when it's gotten real late and your kid's not back from that party yet. No one laughs at God when the airplane starts to uncontrollably shake. No one's laughing at God when they see the one they love pan and handle someone else and they hope that they're mistaken. No one laughs at God when the cops knock on your door and they say, "We got some bad news, sir." No one's laughing at God when there's a famine, fire, or flood. But God could be funny at a cocktail party while listening to a good God themed joke, or when the crazy say he hates us and they get so red in the head to think they're about to choke. God could be funny when told to give you money if you just pray the right way, and when presented like a genie who does magic like Houdini or grants wishes like Jiminy Cricket and Santa Claus. God could be so hilarious, ha ha. Laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when they've lost all they got and they don't know what for. No one laughs at God on a day they realize that the last sight they'll ever see is a pair of hateful eyes. No one's laughing at God when they're saying their goodbyes. But God could be funny at a cocktail party while listening to a good guy joke, or when the crazy say he hates us and they get so red in the head to think they're about to choke. God could be funny when told to give you money if you just pray the right way, and when presented like a genie with his magic like Houdini or grants wishes like Jiminy Cricket and Santa Claus. God could be so hilarious. But no one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one laughing at God in a hospital. No one's laughing at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when you're starving or freezing or so very poor. No one's laughing at God. No one's laughing at God. No one's laughing at God, we're all laughing with God.
Okay, we just heard Laughing With by Regina Spektor. The music set began with Naibaksa Do Septero by Yewon Shin, and in the middle there was Kalaboka Menino by Sue George and Almaz. In the background right now is Lauren Jordan. This is The World Cruise with Captain Fred, and now let's hear the Twistolettes.
I got to leave this neighborhood. that I'm going on. On, on. If it wasn't for the ghetto, I wouldn't have nowhere to go now. Oh, no. Listen. Shotgun blast late last night. She do. I got to leave. I got to leave this neighborhood. Cause this ghetto life I'm living just ain't doing me no good. It ain't doing me no good.
Fight, and I'm too thin to win. But my finger ain't too weak to bend. That's why you don't want no part of me, and I won't want no part of you. If we get that understanding, we can make it through. My mama taught me how to cut. My daddy taught me how to shoot. I didn't wear no shoes, just alligator boots. My mama made me stay in school so I wouldn't be no fool. That's why I'm too light to fight, and I'm too thin to win. Stay away from me, and I'll stay away from you. We do it like that, brother. We both can make it through. Cause I'm too light to fight, and I'm too thin to win. Too light to fight, and I'm too thin to win. I'm too light to fight.
Ain't no use in talking, might as well. walking, walking out into the night. You get your gun, I'll get mine. We can do it just one time.
Set there, that was Eric Clapton with Everything Will Be Alright. Before Eric was Andre Williams, and he's Too Light to Fight. Before Andre was Alabama Mike with Ghetto Life, and we started out with I'd Like to See by the Twistolettes. Now here's Neil Young.
Thank you. stop them now. There ain't no use, nobody can stop them now. Give them a inch, they take a yard. Give them a yard, they take a mile. Once a man and twice a child, and everything is just for a while. But it seems like total destruction, the old solution. Yeah, there ain't no use, nobody can stop them now. There ain't no use, nobody can stop them now.
That was Funkadaisy covering Bob Marley there, and we heard Angry World by Neil Young. You've been listening to Captain Fred's World Cruise. This show is brought to you by the Association of Micropower Broadcasters. If you'd like a copy of our free newsletter, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to AMPB, PMB 22, 2018 Shattuck Avenue, Berkeley, California, 94704. Or send an email to ampb@att.net. Once again, that's AMPB, PMB 22, 2018 Shattuck Avenue, Berkeley, California, 94704. Or send an email to ampb@att.net. I'd like to thank you for listening, and we'll let Cornel West have the last word. This is Captain Fred signing off.
I think Kanye West was actually right, but that we have to make a distinction between being racist in motivation and intention versus racist in effect and consequence. And all you need to do is look at the history of the Bush administration, and you see policies that in effect and consequence generated levels of social misery among poor people, brown people, red people, but especially among working class and poor people. So this is an important point. If Kanye West had said he doesn't care about the black poor, the evidence is overwhelming. But I think what happened was that President Bush understood this in an individualistic way, which is the way most fellow Americans understand racism. Do I actually hate black people individually? No, I don't think President Bush individually hates black people. His policies were racist in effect and consequence, and especially classes in terms of generating misery among poor and working people, disproportionately black and brown. I would say that even about the Obama administration. The Obama administration seems to have very little concern about poor people and their social misery. Look at the policies vis-a-vis Wall Street, downplaying Main Street. Look at the policies of black farmers, a settlement already in place, but they don't want to execute it because they don't want to be associated with black folk too explicitly. Look at the policies of dilapidated housing. We can go right across the board. Look at the policies of the new Jim Crow system, the prison industrial complex. So we're talking not just about individual presidents, we're talking about a system that is tilted against poor people, against working people, disproportionately black and brown and red. There's simply no mention of poor people's plight. Look, for example, at juvenile justice. We just had a wonderful meeting, Coalition Juvenile Justice. The Juvenile Justice, Juvenile Delinquency Prevention Act of 1974 needs to be reauthorized. It's been 2 years now, no reauthorization, either from the Obama administration or the public bureaucracy. Even our dear brother Eric Holder doesn't seem to want to move on it. Meaning what? Low priority for those young people, disproportionately poor, black and brown and red, who are getting locked into a system that leads them toward the prison industrial complex. Why is that so? Why is it such a low priority? It's very clear the people around President Obama, the economic team, pro-Wall Street, pro-oligarchy, pro-plutocracy in terms of preoccupation with investment bankers, very little concern about jobs for everyday people, very little concern about homes for everyday people, very little concern about transforming the conditions to deal with some of this crime out here, with all of this terrorism taking place between poor people and other poor people, young folk being killed every day in Chicago, Los Angeles, and so forth. It is a national emergency. It's a matter of national security as much as Afghanistan, but very little talk about it. So we're talking not just about individuals, we're talking about a particular arrangement of privilege, of plutocracy and oligarchy that downplay working people and poor people, and those of us who love poor people and working people will not put up with it. Congress has become very much a kind of site of legalized bribery and normalized corruption. So anytime you enter Congress, there are the seductions and the temptations of that corruption and that bribery, and many do fall prey to it. If the evidence says, in fact, you fall prey, you have to deal with the consequences. And it seems in this particular case that we have another example, unfortunately, because I do have a deep love for my dear brother Charles Rangel. He's been there for, what, 40 years now. In some ways, one could argue he stayed even too long. But the level of bribery and corruption in Congress cuts across the board. It's just not Charles Rangel. It's just not primarily black congressmen and women. It's white and red and others. And unfortunately, it's a sign of the degree to which our political system is so broken, the degree to which the banks and corporations have got such a stranglehold on Congress. It's no accident that so many fellow citizens have very little confidence in the ability of Congress to do the people's work. This is precisely what I'm talking about. The degree to which the legalized bribery and normalized corruption cuts across the board, both parties, all colors, all cultures, caught within a Congress circumscribed by big banks, big finance, big corporations, big business. And it's a very sad affair, but of course we know this has become part and parcel of American life, and one reason why so many fellow citizens are so disgusted with the system in which we find ourselves. What was it in the last election? 53% of the voters had no confidence in the Democratic Party. 52% of the voters had no confidence in the Republican Party. I think in some ways what we're seeing, the slow demise of a two-party system. The Tea Party movement on the right is going to end up just as disappointed with the Republican establishment as progressives like myself are disappointed with the Obama administration. And you're beginning to see possibilities of new some kinds of motion, momentum, and maybe movement against the two-party system, because the two parties themselves are so corrupt, mean-spirited, cold-hearted Republicans and milquetoast, spineless Democrats. What about poor people? What about working people? They deserve better. We deserve better.